Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is Dusty Slay. I'm your host, as always, and what an exciting time. Hey, just some dates right off the top, some places I'm going to be next weekend. This weekend I'm off. I've been taking time off, and I've been loving it. This weekend, though, I'm in, this next weekend, October 17th, I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina. October 18th, I'm in Richmond, Virginia. October 21st, I'm at the University of Florida. Someone messaged me about that show, and they said, hey, I wanted to get tickets to your University of Florida show. That's in Gainesville, Florida. And they said, tickets were so expensive that I couldn't come. And I go, you got to go through my website. For all my shows, sorry about that cough. For all my shows, you got to go through my website, dustyslay.com. You can go through the website of whatever the venue is, too, if you want. But if you try to go elsewhere, all these, they're scam sites. So don't go through them. Don't go through third-party websites. People have been doing that, too. They go through these third-party websites. I can't even tell you what any of them are called. But and then if a show gets canceled, like I had a show in L.A. About a year ago that we canceled. And when we cancel a show, everybody gets their money back. But if you go through some of these third-party websites, they'll show that the show is just postponed, and then it's harder for you to get your money back. Just go directly through the thing, through my website, to get your tickets to shows. I always make sure. Now, sometimes, it'll be some venue and I'm not trying to blame the venue or whatever, but sometimes ticket prices are out of my hands. For the most part, ticket prices are always out of my hands. But I do have some say, and I always say, let's make sure we at least have some affordable tickets. $35 seems to be the lowest anyone wants to go. I think $35 is a good ticket price. But then, all of these things. I just saw Kid Rock talking about a thing. I don't actually know what he's talking about, but he's talking about the president signing some kind of executive order about tickets and whatnot. Personally, I feel like when the government gets involved, it's never good. But it seems to be that a lot of these ticketing companies, maybe there's only one, is just, they're jacking up all the prices or whatever. Something's happening. But I do know that they passed some sort of law, I guess you could say. I don't know what things are called, but some sort of law that says that these websites now have to put all their hidden fees right out front, right? So there's no more hidden fees. But now what's happened is they don't have to list that they're their fees. This is my understanding. I don't know if this is true, but this is my understanding. I've never been much of a concert goer. I've been to a few things. But for instance, let's say my ticket's $35, and then there's $15 in fees that are out of my control. Now, instead of you clicking on a $35 ticket and then at the end seeing that there were extra fees that added $15, now it's just all up front. So it'll say it's a $50 ticket. Meanwhile, but they don't say that there's fees in there. So I'm still charging $35. It looks like a $50 ticket. And it's still going to cost $50. That's out of my control. I don't know what to do. And the thing about it is, with tickets, $35, and that's not the only ticket. There are ticket prices to my shows that go way up. But I'm trying, I want to make sure there's always tickets available, for people that are on a tighter budget, and that's important to me. Because this is the thing with these theater shows, and clubs too. is they need to make money. I need to make money. You know, I got agents and managers, and I just think sometimes we just think of everybody as rich, right? And it's like, I know that when I first started doing clubs, I just thought all the clubs, well, they're all rich. They have all these famous comics come in, and they have tons of money. But, you know, the club basically operates like a restaurant. So I think a lot of them are on a fairly thin margin, and, you know, they make some money from the performers. But when it's a big-time performer, I guess you could consider me a big-time performer. But when you're a big-time performer, you get a lot of the money from the door. And then the club itself operates, by selling food and drinks. That's why at a club there'll be two drink minimums. And that's happening all over the place. And I think everybody is experiencing hard times. I think ticket sales are down for a lot of comics. There are some comics out there that, are in this, operating in this whole other realm of comedy success to where none of the economy stuff seems to affect them. But for everybody else, it is having an effect all across the board. That's what I'm being told. All that to say, come to my show because it's going to be great. I put on a great show. I don't know what my next moves are as far as a special and what I want to do, because when I recorded Working Man, I was so excited by it. I was so excited by the response. And then I had all these jokes, and I developed another hour relatively quickly that I liked, that I was already kind of tired of telling. I was like, a lot of these jokes I'm sick of telling. So let's go ahead. Let's get out a new special. And I'm happy with how it turned out as well, but it wasn't the what I was expecting, or, you know, what I was hoping for, I guess you could say. And so I don't know what my next direction is as far as what I want to do with a special. Wet Heat, I think, is better than Working Man. I like it better. I like the structure. As far as a complete set, and I like to call things albums because that's what I always liked. When I was coming up listening to things, I like to listen to comedy audio. Like, I'm not that into, I like watching live comedy, but I'm not that into watching specials. I like albums, which is why I want all my stuff to become albums, which is why it's important for me to own them too, because then it becomes an album that I can sell at shows and that I can put on Spotify. Working Man's not on Spotify because I messed up with some technical stuff. I think I've talked about it already, but apparently you can't have a track less than a minute or two. Maybe it's less than 3 minutes on Spotify. So I had the intro and the outro were both very short tracks. So I got to go back in and I got to do some stuff, but it never ended up on Spotify, and I want it to be. And Wet Heat will eventually be on there, and then that'll be five albums. I got another album that I'm looking to do of jokes that have already been out there that I'm not going to put on a special. But all that to say, what I want to focus on now is the live show. I want the live show to be the thing. I want you to come and go, whoa, this is a great live show. So I'm trying to figure out some stuff I want to do. I don't want to change things in a way because I want it to be a live stand-up comedy show, right? So I don't want something weird and crazy. But at the same time, I do kind of want something a little weird. I've always liked weird artsy things, but I don't know what I want to do. But I want to make sure that when you come see my show live, that you will get your money's worth, whether you buy the most expensive ticket or the least expensive ticket. You gotta, you know that I'm bringing it, that I am doing my best to bring you my best comedy. But back to Wet Heat, though. I'm like, that's, to me, callbacks are all a part of a comedy album. It's what completes it. It's what makes it a complete thing. Without callbacks, to me, it's like, you know, yeah, it could be really funny, it could be really great, but it's just an hour of jokes. But when you have callbacks in, then you have a complete thing. Then it's all tied together. Then it's one piece, It's one artistic creation. You know, and it's like, I think sometimes, you know, we think about old, you know, country singers like a Waylon Jennings or a Merle Haggard, and we think of them as these rugged biker guys who just happen to be able to sing. But they're all artists, you know, and they're creating pieces and creating albums. They're all artists. You know, it's like I've always thought of myself as, you know, the weird guy in the trailer park, right? Like I'm still, you know, as trashy as the next guy. I mean, if not for my wife and family, I mean, and I lived in a house with no HOA, I would probably have a messy yard. I'd be picking up crap off the side of the road all the time and bringing it back to my house. That's who I am. That's inside of me. It lives in there. I remember when I worked at Western Sizzlin', I gave a lady a ride home one time and named Linda. And on the way home, she wanted to stop and pick up something off the side of the road. And it wasn't even weird to me. I was like, yeah, of course. Let's get it. We love that stuff. I love it. I love to see something on the side of the road and go, I could use that. I'm into that stuff. Matter of fact, I'm moving. You know, I've moved already from my old house. But the house is technically still on the market, but I think it's sold. I don't know how it all works. Hopefully it's sold. It's a good price. We had a great house that we did a lot of stuff to and made it really special. And we're not out here, you know, price gouging people. I'm not a price gouger. I talk to my real estate agent. I go, what do you think's a good price? We could make some money, but also somebody that's just trying to afford a house can afford a house. So that's what we did. And, but we have done a lot of things to it. I got incredible garden beds with a watering system out there. I got a really great screened in porch that we had built, a little patio back there. We took a useless loft and turned it into an office that used to be my podcast room. It's very small, but it's a great office. You know, we really like what we did out there. But I've been collecting some of my plants. I don't want to rob everything out of the garden, but a lot of that stuff probably will die unless somebody gets in there and starts taking care of it right away. But I took a couple of my apricot trees. There's two apricot trees that I bought, and those are the good ones. And those are planted in the ground pretty strong, and there's no getting them out of there without some kind of equipment. So those have been left. But I took some other apricot trees that I grew from seed that my understanding is when you grow fruit from seed, it probably will never produce fruit. So I went ahead and pulled those up with the strength of my hands and my arm because I planted them like kind of in a bed on top of a weed fabric. So I don't think the roots ever got too deep. So I pulled them up, not to take away from my strength here, but I pulled them up, and now I'm going to, but I took a couple of cuttings from the good apricot tree out there. So I'm going to try to graft those limbs onto the other tree. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But so far on the new property, I have two plum trees that I bought and planted. I have two mulberry trees that I brought from the old house that I had bought and planted, but they had not been in the ground very long. I have four blueberry bushes that I took from there that I just planted. And now I've got a lot of fig trees. I got some fig cuttings from my mom's fig tree, from my dad's, which was my grandfather's fig tree, planted before 1966 sometime. And then I took a couple of cuttings from my fig tree that I had grown from my dad's already fig tree that is growing and has produced little figs. I'm wondering if Tennessee doesn't have if the winters aren't too cold and if the summers aren't long enough for figs, because I don't know, but we'll see. I'm gonna attempt to grow fig trees, but if they don't work, I'll just cut them down. But that's what I got going on. I'm excited about it. I'm really loving it. The fall's coming in. if things are getting less hot, gosh, I mean, I talk about loving the heat. This year was brutal. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I'm out of shape. It could be a number of things, but I am getting in shape, by the way. I've been working out every day. I've been really on top of my diet. My digestion is starting to feel better. I just think I got to do some kind of total reset. I did fast on the Day of Atonement, and the following day I felt, actually that day and the following day I felt incredible. Fasting, I feel so good when I fast. I found a quote that I liked. I feel like I'm addicted to food in a way, even though I don't even eat that much. But I found this quote. It's not a Bible verse, but it says, feels like some kind of Eastern religion, which I'm also into. That's the thing about me. I talked about it last week. I love a lot of the Buddha stuff. I'm not into Buddhism because I'm not into Buddha. But I do think there are some principles of some of those religions that do cross over to where it's like finding peace, tranquility, that sort of thing. But you're just not praying to Buddha. You're not praying to nothing. You're praying to God in heaven, you know? But this quote was, hunger is the first element of self-discipline. If you can control what you eat and drink, you can control everything else. And I believe that. When I was a drinker, I was a very heavy drinker, as I've talked about many times. I would still have, I started fasting back then. This is what I talked about this before. I forget what it's called. Jenston Franklin, I think is his name. There's a podcast listener who guessed it one time. And he wrote a fasting book. Now, he seems like a little bit of that he's preaching the prosperity gospel a little bit. But I remember reading his fasting book back in the day, and it got me very fired up. And I think a lot of those principles are true that he's talking about on there. And maybe not all of it, but, you know, but again, that just goes back to the same old thing that I always say. There's not anyone that I believe everything that they say. I don't line up with anyone's beliefs on everything, but he was talking about fasting and it got me fired up. So I remember this was probably 2008 or nine, 4 years before I would even quit drinking. And I was a heavy drinker and smoker. I fasted, and fasting for one day just was like, it was like unheard of. I was like, oh, I mean, you would have thought I came out of a 40-day fast out of the wilderness like Jesus did. You would think that's what I did. I did one day, and I was like, oh, you know, how will I recover from this? But now that I've fasted a lot over the years, now, not as much as I should, but still a lot, it's not that big of a deal to not fast for a day. But even that is still like, it's still something to be like, oh man, I'm not going to eat at all today. And as you're fasting, you begin to think about food. You go, oh, I want to eat this, I want to eat that. But the more you do it, I mean, just recently I did 2.5 days. I've never done three. Three is really what I want to do. But something happens to me around that third day where I go, if I can just make it to half day mark, I'm eating. But I just feel good. My energy levels were up. And I think that's what I need to do more often for my digestion. I just think that I overeat for myself. You know, other people's digestion's different. I mean, I used to go to a buffet and fill my stomach to the brim and, you know, be miserable, but it seemed as though my digestion was fine. But now, I barely can eat things. I just feel like maybe I've hit a threshold. Maybe my body just needs time to reset in a way. But I seem to do great with meat. Weirdly, it seems like vegetables don't do me as well, especially leafy greens, which seems like the thing that everybody tells you to eat. But the moment I eat leafy greens, it seems like I'm burping real wild. Fried foods is an obvious one, but I don't do well with that. Some vegetables seem like Monday. I didn't eat for most of the day. I did some kind of like smoothies and stuff like that. But I went and did the podcast, Nate Land, and I went out in my car and I ate a can of tuna with mustard. It was delicious. I love doing that. I love a can of tuna. You can't get like Star-Kissed or Bumblebee. They make better cans. Trader Joe's has them. Whole Foods has them. Costco has them. They have better tuna. And I ate one of those in the car. That was delicious, but I was still hungry. So I went to like this pho place across the street from Zany's. And I got just a spring roll. I got two spring rolls, a vegetable spring roll. And I ate that. And I felt great. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to mix it up, just trying to find better things for myself. I'm not into the medical industry. I'm not into going to the doctor. I've been to the doctor many times, and it just feels like the doctors are not helpful. All they want to do is do blood work, and then they want to put you on prescription medication. And I do not want to go on prescription medication for anything. One day, you know, there's a possibility that I may have to for whatever. That seems like what happens to old people now. But it seems like when I was a kid, old people were not on medication. And old people seemed healthier than they seem now. Somebody wrote me an email saying that their grandparents lived to be over 100 in Canada. And they said, what was the key to old life? He said, reading my Bible every day and growing my own food. And that was great. I appreciated that email. I did appreciate it because usually it's like they go, what's the key to old life? They go, oh, it's a cigar every day and I cuss 40 times in the morning. You know, it's something like that where it's like, ah, I drink a Mountain Dew in the morning and wash my face in the toilet. You know, it's stuff like that where I'm like, that may be what you do, but that's not what's gotten you to this old age. But I think it's moving. I'm trying to walk. I got a treadmill. I'm walking about 40 minutes a day. And then I'm working out a little bit. I don't do a ton of workout, but I do lift some weights. And then I hit the sauna. I have a sauna. I bought a sauna years ago, just an infrared sauna. There's some debate on whether they're good or not. I understand, but I already bought it. And, Dr. McCullough is a doctor I like. People stopped liking him during COVID because he was pretty anti a lot of the normal COVID rhetoric. But I like him. And he's pro infrared saunas and he's pro grounding, which I'm still into. I don't know if I'm into grounding sheets. I don't know if I'm into, I bought them. I don't know if they do anything, but I am into walking around outside in the dirt, barefooted. I do think there's something to that. I am for touching a tree. Somebody commented on something. They go, I was talking about touching a tree, and they go, yeah, if you're high. And that made me laugh because, yeah, probably. When I first started fasting, I was getting high all the time. I honestly don't even remember when the last time I got high was. I not made a conscious decision to stop smoking weed. I have weed. I shouldn't say that, I guess. Legal weed. I have legal weed. And I'm just not into it. I lost interest. I think it's being a dad. I'm not into it. I don't want to be doing that around my kids. And I don't want to, I used to do it. My main time to do it was at night after a comedy show, after, I just do it and then I get paranoid in the hotel. But I will say, True by Hilton, when I had the experiences of demons coming to get me or whatever, I was not high. So I can't blame the weed. There's a lot of times where I freak out in hotels and you can definitely blame the weed, but not every time. And I've had some experiences here and there, but I've kind of given up cigars too. I do think I'm going to give up cigars for a while. I may give them up completely. I may just be turning over a new leaf in that period of my life too. I like them, but I took about 2 weeks off And then I had one on Saturday in Hartford. And I don't know. I just was like, the next day, I just didn't feel good. And it didn't really enhance my life that night to where it was like worth not feeling good the next day. I think that it's, I spent 2 weeks working out and not having cigars. And then I had a cigar and I was like, oh, this is, it's kind of like a hangover when you're doing a cigar every day. Not that I was for insurance purposes, but when you're doing one every day, you don't notice that you feel bad in the morning. But when you started, to, when I started to feel really good and then I do it, I was like, I don't really like this. So I'm probably going to give that up. You know, maybe not forever, but for a while, I think. I'm turning over a new leaf with that. Speaking of that, though, I was in Hartford, Connecticut this past weekend. Really great time. I went with my friend Zach Townsend, who is from Manchester. That's where the club is. And he's from that area, and we had a great time. A lot of fun. Saw some old friends that I used to work with at Hyman's with, and a lot of fans came out that had been to very many shows, and it was great. I had a lot of fun. I love doing clubs. It's like, I don't necessarily like doing two shows a night, but I did two shows on Saturday. I don't necessarily like it, but what I like is that I'm getting lots of reps, and that's what I like. Somebody pitched something about doing like an online show to get more reps. I don't like it. I don't want to be doing online shows. Live comedy is the only way. This is what I want to do. I have an idea. And I'm the only reason I'm not just keeping this to myself is because I don't feel like it's about me. Someone shared a video with me about two Christian artists. I don't know who they are. But they were talking about putting together a Christian halftime show, where they would just film their own halftime show and air it during the Super Bowl, the same time as the Super Bowl halftime show, and encourage people to watch that. And I'm into that idea. I'll be on the Nateland cruise during the Super Bowl. So I won't be able to film my own, you know, I won't be able to do it live. But what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get together a 30-minute show of some kind. I may try to bring some musicians in. I don't know if I'll be able to pull it together. I'd like to. I just don't know if I have the time. But pull together some kind of 30-minute halftime show where, you know, and then I put it on my YouTube at the time of the halftime show, air it live, and so people have something else they could watch. And the idea is to pull ratings from the halftime show to kind of demand that they do a better halftime show. I don't know anything about Bad Bunny, okay? My understanding is Bad Bunny was in Happy Gilmore 2, and I thought his character was pretty funny. It's nothing against Bad Bunny. But I'm like, you know, families watch the Super Bowl, and Super Bowl halftime shows that I've seen over the years are more adult-centered. And I'm not saying do a show for kids, but why can't we get just a normal concert or a marching band, as Derek Stroop suggested, where it's just fun. It's just fun and people can just enjoy it. So many of these halftime shows are dark. And I'm like, why are we doing it? Like the Katy Perry one was like, she was riding a beast. It was like some page out of Revelation. Beyonce has posed like the Baphomet. Madonna posed like the Baphomet. And it's just like, a lot of them are so dark. And I just don't get it. I don't know why it is that we're doing that. Even the Coldplay one that we had a few years ago was just not good. So I just don't know why we're doing that. It takes so long to set up. And I think we just got to pull ratings from them for a little while to make them go, all right, well, what do the people want? Because I feel like, I mean, listen, I would prefer no one watch the Super Bowl at all. I think they're so out of control now. They think that their product is so good that we're going to watch no matter what. The commercials aren't good anymore. The commercials used to be a lot of fun. The commercials aren't good anymore. I don't think the game is ever good. I got into this debate with the guys on Nateland about whether the games are good, and they go, well, last year's went to overtime. And to me, overtime doesn't make a game good. If the game's neck and neck and you're just scoring left and right and there's touchdown after touchdown and you come down to the wire and you go, man, this game's going into overtime. Well, yeah, that's a good game. But if you didn't score the entire game but it went to overtime, that's not a good game. Unless I actually am a fan of defensive games. It just depends on what it is leading up to it. Like Alabama, I always felt like with Nick Saban was a good defensive team. So, you know, they would go up against a team with a really great offense and then shut them down, and I thought that was fun to watch. But overall, people love offensive games. I just think the NFL in general, sports in general, they just feel like their product is so good that we're just going to watch no matter what. And I feel like that way beyond sports. I feel like that about movies. I feel like that about restaurants. I feel like that about so many things where these places just go, well, they're going to come. They're going to come. We'll give them whatever we want them to have because they're going to consume our product no matter what. And I think we got to fight back. We got to fight back with our numbers of people. We got to fight back with our dollars, as they say. You don't have to boycott, but if you stop going, people start going, well, why are people not going? And then maybe they start to ask questions. And then they start putting out better things. That's my opinion, but it's also the right opinion. You just have to demand better from things. And that's, I don't know. That's what I think. It's just one man's humble opinion out here. But I think if we put together, because Brian Bates said this to me, and it really got my wheels turning. And then somebody sent me a video on Instagram, and I was like, oh, this is the way. But he said, In Living Color did a halftime show, and it got so many views that the NFL was like, well, we need our own halftime show. And I understand the NFL wanting to keep the ratings for themselves. I understand that. But why couldn't somebody else capitalize on the ratings if we put together a better product? And I just think everybody thinks the Super Bowl's untouchable. They don't want to do shows during the Super Bowl. Listen, I don't want to do a show during the Super Bowl, but nobody wants to do anything during the Super Bowl because they just think it's untouchable. I think the whole fiasco around a Super Bowl is ridiculous. All these things. I used to be really into the NFL, and I used to be, for 10 or 15 years, I was into the NFL. I was into college football. I loved it. It was just, man, I couldn't wait to watch it. Having a successful career in comedy took some of that from me because I can never really watch the games on Saturday because I got a show to do, and then I'm usually traveling on Sunday. It's hard to catch the games. Another part of it came out when I have kids. It's like, well, I want to spend time with my kids on Sunday and Monday nights. I don't want to be sitting around watching football. And then once you start dwindling it down to where you're barely ever able to watch, you go, well, I can't be that into it because I can't, I can't keep up. And then sports talk used to be really fun. I love sports talk radio. Colin Cowherd was my favorite guy. Love that guy. And then there was Scott Van Pelt. And then ESPN started to get more political and less about sports and more about social justice. And I was like, well, I don't want to watch this. I just want to see highlights. I want to see you talk about the game. I want to hear what's the drama. I do like drama around the game. I like drama around the players, but I don't, but I like drama around the players playing the game, not drama around their personal lives and what, and it's just like, and so then you add in that element where now I can't even keep up listening to sports radio because it's always about something else. And then I can't even turn on SportsCenter and get highlights. And then I'm like, okay, I'm out now. I'm just completely out. And this is the first year that I've not even because YouTube started to do a cool thing where they would, you know, kind of give you all the offensive plays of the game so I could watch a full three-hour game in 15 minutes. And I used to do that. The moment I got back to my hotel after a show, I would just start cranking out those games. But now I don't even care. I just don't care anymore. And I think it's because they felt like their product was too good. You just keep thinking your product's so good that I'm just going to consume it no matter what. And I'm surprised at the amount of people that do keep doing it, that just keep, they just stay in no matter what. And I'm just like, I can't do it. You gotta give me what I want, and that's sports and nothing else. And then the NIL, all that, that also adds in another element where I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not against players being paid. I've always felt like that it's not right the amount of money that these institutions are making. College, oh man, college is such a scam now. It's such a scam. Somebody said, I got in the comments, I talked about sports loans, or I talked about college loans, and they go, I got no sympathy. If they don't have, you know, the creative thinking to not take out the loan or whatever, critical thinking. And I just go, listen, I've been there. I've been with you on this. I've been in that place where I'm like, hey, they knew what they were doing. But it's the people giving them the loans are predatory. Like, I don't even think there's much of an acceptance. You don't even have to prove anything. They just go, we'll give you the loan. And you go, okay, good, I'll get my college loan. I'll get to go to college. But then you see the interest rates. People are not prepared. The people, listen, I wasn't prepared. I just didn't want to go to college. I don't know if the loans were a thing in 2000 when I was trying to go, but I didn't want to go. So I wasn't even looking into loans. I was looking into how I was going to live my life without college because I dang sure didn't want to go. And so I just think that it's, so they're preying on people that are just like wanting to go. And then they're stuck with these. And college, man, what a scam. What a scam. The universities are making so much money off all the football, all the sports. They're making so much off tuition and books. And books cost so much, and all they're doing is looking for more ways to get money out of people. They're just nickel and diming you everywhere you go. Such a scam. And that's another thing. If we all just quit going, that would have to change too. All we have to do is exercise our power to go, oh no, I don't want this. I'm not going to go. NFL games are the same thing too. If we quit going, if we quit buying $15 beers when we were there, they'd drop the price. They'd go, nobody, you know, I'd be interested to see what happens with Vegas because they keep doing that with Vegas. People keep putting out videos, and they're blaming the economy, and I'm sure that has something to do with it. I think a lot of people are broke, but not everybody, because when I was in Vegas, there was still a bunch of people there. But I think, you know, a lot of people are, and a lot of people spend way beyond their means. That's something I've never been into. Even when I was not making very much money at all, I was still not quote-unquote poor because I just knew, well, this is what I'm making. This is what I'm going to spend. I never needed to be flashy. I don't like that at all. Matter of fact, I'm doing a thing here coming up, a TV thing, and I've had to hire a stylist, and I am so anti that. I don't think I can ever do it again. I hate it. Let me dress myself. That's what I'm saying. I just think there's this thing, and it is real, right? There's a perception. Like, some people like it if the person they're going to see is a genuine, regular dude. But other people need you to be a celebrity. They go to the show because you're a celebrity. They want to get a picture with you. They want to post it on their social media and have other people go, ooh, I really like that guy. And I struggle with that because I want to sell out all my shows, I want to have a long, successful comedy career, but I don't want to be a celebrity. I like being recognized in public. I do like that aspect. I like when people come up and want to take pictures with me. I think it's fun. But I like it at the level it's at now where, you know, I still go out. I went to the grocery store the other day, the Publix in my neighborhood. And, you know, I go in, I ask the guy working there. I think he's the manager. I go, hey, you know, where's the, I don't know, carrots? And he shows me the carrots, and then he goes, hey, big fan, by the way. And I was like, all right, I appreciate that. Just a normal guy who appreciates what I'm doing out here, and I like that. We're both normal people. He works at Publix. I shop there. I used to do exactly what he's doing at a lower level. He's the manager. I used to stock shelves. I used to stock pesticides. I like that stuff. Honestly, I could see myself doing that again. There was something that went around one time. There was a guy, he was like on a TV show back in the day. I think he was on the Cosby Show, and then they found out he was working at the grocery store, and they were almost like, what happened to this guy? And it's like, what do you mean what happened? You mean he's just working a job? Like, this is what happens, you know? You can do things. Like, I don't know, I struggle with that sometimes where it's because I'm a comic that now the thing I have to do my entire life is comedy, and it always has to be successful, or people go, what happened? You go, well, I'm a human being, and I just am, you know, I switched it up. I just want to do something different. I have multiple interests. And that's always been the thing with me. I've always been interested in a lot of things. When I was in high school, I wanted to move to Savannah, Georgia, because I wanted to go to Savannah College of Art and Design. That is the one college that I wanted to go to. But I wanted to go because I felt like an artist. I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to create things. I wanted to learn new techniques, but it was too expensive. I wasn't going to be able to do it. I'm sure if I had more motivation and I could, you know, put my money aside and do this, I probably could have worked it. Even there was the Art Institute of Atlanta had a Charleston branch. And I remember going in there one day and talking to them, but it was just too expensive. It was so expensive. But I just wanted to submerge myself in an arts community. And now I find myself having success in stand-up comedy, which is almost the least respected by the arts community. I think improv is what they respect, which I did too. But there are just, that's why I like the video that my friend Mike Salva made for me about the letters of the alphabet bit. I thought it was very fun and creative. It did well. I hoped it would go mega viral. And probably if I cleaned it up, it probably would have did better if kids could watch it. But, you know, I don't care. I'm happy with where it's at. But I love just artistic things. I like that. And I've talked about this before. I used to like to make things out of modeling clay. I should bring a few of the things on the podcast one day that I made just to show off. They're all dark looking. I was really into, not the dark arts, but I was into skulls and things like that when I was in high school. I was going down a road. And I was saved. I was already a Christian, but I could easily see myself, if I were not a Christian, how I could have gone down a dark path. I ordered a book one time. I don't know where I saw the book, but it was like, it was supposed to be this book that was going to give you this power to, to become successful. And I forget exactly what the book was. But I was like, I want that. I'm into that. I want that power, right? So I ordered the book. I paid for it, and it came to my house. And I started looking at it. And it just gave me a very evil feeling. I was living in the trailer park. I was living alone in the trailer park. And it gave me such an evil feeling, even back then, the early 2000s, that I took it out back and I burned the book. I was like, I'd never done that before. I never burned a book. But I was like, I got to burn this book. And I burned it. And it felt good. It felt good to get that book out of my life. I had another book one time called The Book of Secrets that I bought at Books a Million, and it was a book on meditation and stuff. And I was getting into that, and not meditating to Jesus, just a book of meditation. And I had to get rid of that too. I was like, I gotta get rid of that. Because it was just like, I don't know, just didn't feel good. Didn't feel right. I'm not trying to tap into that. I'm trying to seek some wisdom, but I'm not trying to be like the book. I'm not trying to be like Solomon out here. You know what I mean? Get into the dark arts out here. I lost it there. I had to send a text. I was supposed to take a call at 2:30, and I was. Here's the thing. I did take a couple of notes. Land updates. Oh goodness. I've been trying to get back out to McMinnville. I've been trying so hard. Every time I try to plan a day to go to McMinnville, something comes up that I got to do. I don't have the internet out in McMinnville, and it'll be like, can you take a Zoom call? Can you do a Zoom meeting on this day? Can you do this on this day? And I go, yeah, I guess so. And then I can't go to McMinnville. I am going to try to go this weekend. I've not been in a while. I don't know what to do. I've done so much. I got a guy who's supposed to be creating me a land video, but we filmed it, 4 months ago, and he's not even, my video guy's the slowest guy on the planet when it comes to my land stuff. So I do got an updated video of just some stuff we did, but I don't know what I'm going to do next because, now that I've moved to where I'm at in my house, I don't have as much land here as I do out in McMinnville, but I got enough to satisfy what I want to do. I got enough to plant trees and plant. I can do my little food forest here at a smaller scale that I wanted to do out there. So I want to keep that going. I don't want to sell it. I think I'm going to try to turn it into some sort of an Airbnb because there is Airbnbs out in McMinnville, but they... I don't think they're as cool as what I got going. So I'm going to try to find some property management company to help me with that. And I'm going to try to do some stuff. I got a couple of ideas and I still want to do updated videos and I still want to develop it. In fact, doing an Airbnb, or some kind of rental property, vacation rental, something like that out there would motivate me to do more things to really enhance that property. So people would want to stay there. Things are going to continue to develop, but right now it's just kind of on hold because I've not been able to get out there. And even though I got the weekend off, it's like, I got a thing to do. This is Wednesday. I got stuff to do. Tomorrow I got stuff to do. Friday now I have stuff to do. I may go Sunday, but I'm off Sunday again, and I want to go to church again. I try to not do too heavy. I got a lot of compliments and a lot of emails about how Bible heavy my last podcast was. Not necessarily Bible heavy. I don't even think I got into the Bible. I got a lot of compliments, but I got a few comments about it. And I do, and at first it made me mad. I saw a comment, they go, enough with the Jesus talk or whatever. And I was a little annoyed by it at first, but at the same time, I also was like, I get it. I'm a comedian. I brought people here to listen to me. I don't even know what people are here to listen to me talk about. I'm supposed to be trying to be funny, but we all know this pod. Anybody who's listened for long enough know that this podcast has just become a long rambling session of updates in my life. I'm really just trying to create content now. I got people that tell me they listen to me when they're riding on their tractors, when they're cutting their grass, when they're going to sleep at night. I'm just being a voice at this point. I'm just talking for an hour, to give you something that you know is not poison to your ears, that you know I'm not going to start yelling. Maybe my SD card gets messed up once in a while and pops, and I got to switch it out. But I'm just trying to give you content that I think is fun. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I like to listen to. I like to just listen to people who have good audio where the music's not loud. The music's relaxing, and I can just enjoy talking. Somebody said if I want more YouTube views, I need to put a picture on the screen, at least one picture every video, and describe it so that people have to go to the YouTube link. And I think that's good. I think that's very smart, and I appreciate that tip. But I also don't want to force you to have to go to the video. I want lots of views. I want lots and lots of views. But I also, I don't want to make you do things, and I don't want to trick you, you know? I don't like tricking people. I just want you, I just want people to, you know, listen because they want to listen. But that being said, yeah, I want to go to church. I don't know if I'll go to the same place, but I do want to go to church. I liked it. I'll end with talking about that. Before I go, I just want to tell you, I do have another video I've been posting on YouTube. It's called Dusty Reacts. I don't know exactly what we're titling it. Like it said, this title said reacting to some of your favorite videos. It's on my YouTube channel. It's me and my friend Connor Larson. We've only done two so far. We got plenty of technical issues while we're doing it, but I'm just trying to bring a little something different. Technically it's a podcast, so now I'm doing three podcasts a week. I'm doing Nate Land, I'm doing this, and now I'm doing that. I'm not doing that every week. I'm going to try to do it every week, but we're just trying to do something fun. And we got a YouTube, or we got an email that we've put together. Let's see if it's called, the email is Dusty React Clips. Dusty React Clips at gmail.com. We got that out there. If you want to send a funny video that you would want us to react to, then send it to that email. Connor will check it out. He'll put it in the folder, and we'll try to, if it's good, we'll try to react to it on the podcast that we do. And that's some fun content. We're trying to get that out. All right, I got to go. So I got to end on time. But I just want a couple of things. I've been listening to a lot of Christian music. I got a playlist. Maybe by the time this comes out, I'll call it Dusty Slay's Christian Music Playlist. It's your classic Christian songs combined with a couple of albums that I really like. Classic Christian songs that you probably heard in the early 2000s. I really love them. I've been into it. I've been really into Christian music the last couple of days. Somebody sent me one time just called Worship, and I went through that playlist. I've not been through the whole thing. I like a lot of it. Some of it I'm not as into. But I just want to end talking about this because I'm always talking about this kind of religious stuff that I'm into now. I don't think anything will ever change my views on pork. I'm done trying to convince people that you shouldn't eat pork. No, I'm not done. I'm not going to lie to you. I just don't think anything will ever change me. Even if it was proven to me, which I don't think it can be, but if it was proven to me that Jesus did in fact say that you no longer have to worry about what you eat, you can eat anything you want to, I at this point find pork to be disgusting and I would never eat it again. Someone shared a thing in the We're Having a Good Time Facebook group about by Dr. Josh Axe about his roommate eating a bunch of wild boar and getting parasites and worms. I think it's a gross meat. I think God knew that. He said, I got a plan for this pig. I know what this pig is to be used for, and I don't want you eating it because that's not the plan for it. And that's what I think the dietary laws are all about. I think it's God saying, listen, I made all this stuff, okay? I know it intimately. I know the inner workings of this. I know what they eat. I know how it affects their bodies, and I don't want you touching that stuff. I got a different plan for these animals, and that's at the heart of it. People always go, yeah, but it's not a salvation issue. Is it? I don't know. I'm not saying you'll go to hell if you eat pork. You're not hearing that from me. But I am saying there's probably no way I'll ever eat it. But there was a movement out there for a while where they were saying that Jesus's original name was Yeshua, and that is the name of Jesus, is Yeshua. And they were saying that the name of God is Yahweh. I've heard that for a long time, but Yeshua came about later. And I never felt fully comfortable with it. So I would never, in my own prayers, I had begun to use Yeshua, but I would also use Jesus, because Jesus is the name I know. But I was kind of into the Yeshua thing, and I was into Yahweh. But, you know, those names are not in the Bible, and I understand there's Hebrew stuff and this and that, but there's a video I watched that I'll never share. And I just was listening to this guy more and more, and I just have been convinced that that's not a thing. And so now I'll no longer use Yeshua. I will only use Jesus. Jesus is the name that I was saved by. Jesus feels right to me. And the moment I came to this revelation, I felt an overwhelming happiness in my body. I felt it felt like the Holy Spirit was beaming inside of me because I had come to this truth that Jesus is the name, and that Yahweh is not used in the Bible, not any of the versions I've used. Jehovah's in there. Various things are in there. But, you know, I'm back to the notion that I will not give God a name. God, He is the my Father in heaven. He is Lord. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm just sharing this with you, that this is where I'm at. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm not rejecting any movements, but I'm now off of that. Not that I've ever, I don't even know if I've ever talked about that. But what people said was that there was no letter J in Hebrew, so there was no way that Jesus could have been his name because there was no J sound. There was no letter J and no J sound. But what I've been told is that there was no J, but there was a J sound, that when the letter I in Greek, when the letter I was put before E, it made the J sound. So like the term Jew, which everyone uses, that would have been, you know, like I-E making the J sound. Jesus, I-E, making the J sound. King James, maybe, I-E. And I don't know. I'm not saying I know all these things. I'm not saying I know all this information. But the guy talking about it, it just felt right to me. And I just felt like I wanted to share it. I'm just like, yeah. And then I started listening to the song that I like so much, that is my favorite song, called Break Every Chain. And I like the version the most, Break Every Chain by Jesus Culture and Christine DeMarco. That's what's on YouTube. Break Every Chain. It's a live version. I love that song. And the thing they say over and over again is there is power in the name of Jesus. And once I came to this revelation, all of these songs that I kind of were putting on the back burner because, I don't know, I felt like, I don't know, I just didn't like them anymore, they all came to life to me again. And they all felt good. And the song Break Every Chain, where they say over and over again, there is power in the name of Jesus, it felt real to me. It felt good. I felt alive. I've been feeling better since that day. I've been feeling just, my body's felt better. And I just wanted to share that. I don't know if that means anything to anyone. Probably a lot. And the reason I wanted to preface it with the dietary things is I just felt like everybody, now that I've had this, everybody's going to come to me going, yep, and once you realize that you can eat anything you want, it'll get better too. I'm going to go ahead and reject that. I can read those things in the Bible. I don't read Yeshua in the Bible. And but the reason I wanted to share it was because, you know, I am open, right? It's not like I close my mind off to things. I talk to God. I ask God to reveal things to me. And I feel like this has been revealed. I wanted to share it with you. I think you guys are great. I appreciate you listening to my podcast. We're having a good time. Thank you.